This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Well, it's been bottled up since last week in a kind of Washington, D.C. secrecy, but this is about as long as they could keep it under wraps. There is now a health care bill before the U.S. Senate. After promising for 7 years to repeal the Affordable Care Act, therefore, Senate Republicans and all Republicans on Capitol Hill are finally putting forth a plan to do just that. It's a 142-page bill right now. It outlines cuts to Medicaid. It would end the mandate set up by Obamacare that was the cornerstone to making the Affordable Care Act work. It would also set up federal tax credits to help Americans buy health insurance and would let states have more flexibility in deciding what services they want to keep and which they want to drop. Joining us now to answer some of the questions and to outline what are still mysteries, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Well, here we go. Present from the Senate.
Here we go, John. The bill that's been long awaited here in a very secretive process. Lots of frustrated senators saying that they didn't like the process that was writing this bill. None of them saying they would use their power to do anything about it. Now have a bill in front of them. Here's Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who left a morning meeting with Republican senators where this discussion draft was released, had a bill in hand, went to the Senate floor.
I'm pleased that we were able to arrive at a draft that incorporates input from so many different members who represent so many different constituents who are facing so many different challenges. The draft containing the solutions I mentioned, along with many others, is posted online, and I encourage everyone to carefully review it.
Now, discussion draft is a new term, right? It means we're going to talk about this, but we're not going to have hearings like we normally would, and we're not going to go through the normal process. And, oh, by the way, it's online.
Well, it might mean that, except we do have legislative text now. There is an actual bill.
Right.
So there were the senators got the discussion draft. Many of them came out of the room and said, I still haven't seen the bill. Meanwhile, over on the floor, the bill came out and McConnell had that bill in hand when he made that statement. Now, that's important because that means the bill now goes to the CBO. We're expecting a score from the
Congressional Budget Office, right?
And that, right, vital. That comes out as early as Monday. And that is what's going to tell us not only the cost, but how many people would lose insurance under this plan. John, at its core, this Senate plan is very similar to the House plan in its contours and shape. What it is from 20 feet back is a huge cut to Medicaid, big tax decreases for wealthier people and medical device companies and other big companies in exchange for cutting insurance for lots of people who get help for it now and for poor people. That's the broad outlines of this plan. And now we have some details of how the Senate plan might be a little bit different from the House plan. It does repeal the individual mandate, which is the thing that Republicans hated the most, probably, about Obamacare. It keeps in place, however, a lot of the tax credits that people have in order to get help buying insurance, but it tightens the restrictions. Fewer people will qualify. Like in the House bill, older people around 58, 59, 62 who are lower income will almost certainly wind up paying a lot more for their health insurance if this bill passes in its current form. Those changes in the tax credits would go into effect in 2020. And then there's the Medicaid piece of this, John, which is pretty gigantic. Now, there was a lot of controversy around the rollback of the Medicaid expansion in the House bill. This bill in the Senate does exactly the same thing, but it does it a little bit slower. It would phase out the expansion in Medicaid that lots of states signed on to give more people health care, but it would phase it out beginning in 2020 and then make deeper cuts after that. Here's Tim Scott, a conservative Republican senator from South Carolina, who I caught up with on his way out of the meeting.
The lowest income will have more access to health insurance at a more affordable price. The folks that we talked about, the hypothetical person making about $12,000 a year, will have more access and at a lower cost for health insurance. And that's a really good thing.
How do they have more access if Medicaid's being cut?
Well, Medicaid's not actually being cut from our perspective.
So, wait a minute. Medicaid's being expanded, the expansion is being eliminated, or Medicaid is actually being cut back from what it is pre-Obamacare?
Medicaid is being cut. Senator Scott there says that Medicaid is not being cut from their perspective. Based on what we see in the bill right now, there's simply no way that that's true. After the 2020 drawback of the Medicaid expansion, what this bill does in the out years is it then establishes a Medicare reimbursement rate for the states that's pegged to inflation. John, right now in the House bill, that rate is pegged to inflation plus medical cost plus 1%. That means that the money available under this bill for Medicaid in the out years, beyond 10 years, is even leaner, is even less, is even a deeper cut than what's in the House bill. That's important because there are Republican senators who've already seen discussions and drafts and rumors in the weeks before this who've said they have been very uncomfortable with some of the Medicaid cuts that they've envisioned. Now, John, you may see some Republican senators coming out either today or in the coming days saying that they're against this bill. And that won't be the end of the story. There's going to be a great deal of, I think, hype and heat around senators who say that they don't like this bill and that in its current form, they might vote against it. But there are going to be lots of opportunities for Mitch McConnell next week when this bill's on the floor to make deals, to make amendments, and to try to give senators things that they want to get their votes. That'll happen throughout the week. There'll be lots of potential votes on the Senate floor. But I want to make, I want to highlight something that nobody's talked about what Mitch McConnell has in his back pocket here to make deals. At the very end of this process, he gets what's colloquially called around here a wraparound amendment. McConnell might try to get wavering senators on board by offering them deals on health care, Medicaid, or other things that they want. And he can throw an amendment on the floor at the very end of this process with very little debate and try to get this passed. He may or may not succeed. He probably doesn't have the votes right now, but even if he doesn't have the votes now, he can make deals to get there.
It's a goodies amendment. One very quick yes or no. Is it illegal to not have insurance under this bill?
It is not illegal. The individual mandate is gone.
Todd Zwillick talking about health care. Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much.
You got it, John.
More now on what the real post-Obamacare world is probably going to look like. We have a glimpse of it. Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News. Welcome back to The Takeaway. There are structural changes that we should focus on, and then the sort of ideological goodies that Republicans often like to focus on. Let's separate the differences.
Sure. We have, of course, the Senate bill, like the House bill, and the Senate, we should call the discussion draft, would have massive changes to the Medicaid program. They would slow down, phase down over 3 years, additional funding for the Medicaid expansion, which is a little different in the Senate than the House. But like the House, it would cap Medicaid expenditures from the federal government. That is a significant departure from current practice. Now Medicaid, for example, gives states on a matching basis different percentages around the country per dollar they spend. This Senate draft proposal, like the House passed bill, would put a cap on that. So it would limit Medicaid spending, which is really a very, very big change. Also, the Senate bill, like the House bill, would roll back a lot of the Affordable Care Act taxes, things like taxes on medical device makers and insurers and tanning salons. It wouldn't have any Planned Parenthood funding for a year, even though federal law currently says you can't use any federal funding for abortions. That's what that provision is aimed at. And the Senate bill would slightly differ from the House bill in the tax credits. These are these subsidies that are given to people to help them buy insurance. Instead of having that at 400% of the poverty level, starting in 2020, it would be down to 350% of the poverty level, but it would drop down to people at 0% of poverty. That's not where current law is. And the point being that for some poorer people in states that didn't expand Medicaid, they might be able to get some coverage.
So the mandate is gone, which means you don't have to get insurance.
Gone. That's
so that means people are sort of out of the umbrella of healthcare. And it also reduces the incentives for people who are out suddenly in the cold to actually be able to get back into the system, right?
Right. I mean, the idea of not having an individual mandate and not having an employer mandate is something Republicans love. But a particularly individual mandate, that gives the policy people a heartburn because if you don't have everybody in, how do you balance the sick and the healthy? So this idea perhaps of dropping the subsidies down to some of the poorest people, it will depend how they work and how much they have to contribute, but that is theoretically an incentive for them to get in the market without a mandate.
But it's far fewer people than Obamacare has shown that it's brought into the system in the few years that it's been in place?
Well, in the sense of, I mean, are you talking here about the number of people you think who won't have coverage under this bill, or?
Right. I mean, what's the erosion of coverage? People who are just under these circumstances are going to have to just walk away. And what are the incentives that are no longer in place for people to actually try to get, in the case of Obamacare subsidies? Now it's something different.
Theoretically, if you bring that subsidy level down to people who are right at the poverty level, you could have more of an incentive for them to get coverage, but it will depend on how much they actually have to contribute. But if you don't have that mandate,
there's no incentive.
It may not work.
Would you say this is a stealth reduction, massive reduction in Medicaid more than anything else?
Exactly. I mean, that is one of the biggest things about this bill that really hasn't been noticed as much. People have focused on the subsidies to buy coverage or the cost-sharing subsidies, that kind of thing. But the idea that you're changing the fundamental nature of the Medicaid program from an open-ended entitlement to one that now is going to have a cap on it is something that could really put a lot of pressure on states. And what people don't understand is the reach of Medicaid. It's 1 in 5 Americans. It's half of all births.
Right.
It's 2/3 of covering in nursing homes. It's pretty big.
The untouchable entitlement era may be over. Mary Agnes Carey, Partnerships Editor and Senior Correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Thanks so much.
Thank you.